It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. That means we get Ross Tucker in the house. How are you doing, Mr. Ross?
I am doing awesome, Jim. I'm a little bit disappointed by Penn State's performance in the bowl game, but it's almost a full week later at this point, so I'm a grown man. I've moved on. It is what it is. I'm already looking forward to next year and looking forward to this weekend, by the way. Jim, I got a nice little doubleheader. I'll be calling the FCS National Championship game on Saturday, North Dakota State, Montana State. So there's just something special about any type of national championship like that. And I would tell you that those teams are much better than people realize. I think they would each beat at least 20 FBS schools, probably more. And then North Dakota State would probably beat half of them. And then Sunday night, Raiders, Chargers, win and you're in the playoffs. So I got a nice little doubleheader going. I'm not going to have enough time to go to Home Depot. I won't have enough time.
Fantastic. Congratulations on that. One quick note on that. I think it's that Raiders-Chargers game. Is it that if the Colts lose earlier, both those teams could make the playoffs with the tie game? So they could just go stand on the field, take a knee, and then they're guaranteed to make the playoffs. Any chance we're going to see that, Ross?
Well, that would be something, wouldn't it? I know this. People would start to hear a whole lot about the beer I drink and the food I eat if I'm broadcasting 3 hours of those guys taking a knee. That would be epic. I mean, but no, that's not going to happen. I'd be shocked if the Colts lost to the Jaguars, but that would put that scenario in play.
I'll tell you what, if that case may come up, maybe we'll put out a special Ask Ross and I can email you those questions and you can answer those during the game. All right, let's get back to Penn State football. I really appreciate the fact that you're so mature, grown man, and you could get over this loss. I'm sorry, Ross, I'm not over it yet. I was disappointed almost a week later. I'm still disappointed, and I want to talk to you about a specific part of this. I could at least give the defense a pass in this game. Half the starters opted out. It's a tough way to go into this game. But on offense, going into this game, I looked at it like we're finally going to get back to healthy Sean Clifford. I was hoping to see the Sean Clifford we saw during the 5-0 start. We didn't see that from Sean Clifford, at least from my take on it. What did you see from Sean Clifford? Was he as bad as I thought he was?
Yeah, I mean, disappointing. And disappointing because I would say, Jim, disappointing for a lot of different reasons. I mean, number one, he's coming back next year. So, you know, you wanted to feel good about his performance and what it means for Penn State next year. Now, I think it could be a potentially really kind of ugly situation next year. I mean, if he doesn't play well, there's going to be a lot of people wanting them to put in Christian Veau or Drew Aller. I mean, it's going to be a – Sean Clifford really needs to play well, and I would say in spring ball. And then in the season as well. Otherwise, I think he's in danger of losing his job. I was disappointed by him. You know, some of the decision-making, some of the missed throws, you know, I guess on the intentional grounding, he didn't have much of a chance, but figure it out. You know, like, figure it out somehow. Buy yourself time. Throw it near somebody so you don't get that critical penalty. And you think about it, like, even it could have been worse. You know, Parker Washington makes a ridiculous catch, and they totally drop a coverage on Keandre Lambert-Smith. It could have been even worse. And the thing is, too, is it's not like the offensive line was terrible, Jim. I mean, they actually ran it decently at times. And he had some pressure, but I actually thought Ola Fashanu did some really good things. You know, I was excited to see some of these young guys like Ola and Tangwall in there and battle and do some decent things. There's just no way around it between the intentional grounding, which was really costly, and then that interception in the end zone. You just can't do it. Can't have it. It's a critical error that you really feel as if he should be passed at this point of his career, but unfortunately, he's not.
And the thing is, that interception, that was not fourth down. That was first down on the 10-yard line. So
right, right.
No excuse. If you don't have someone open, throw it away. You still have three more downs. The other one was the missed Theo Johnson beyond the defense.
Oh.
It's a touchdown.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Now you're getting me mad again, Jim. Now you're getting me angry again. Now, in fairness to him, Theo Johnson, like, stopped. He didn't like, just keep running his route. He kind of, like, was looking behind. I think Theo Johnson was so surprised how open he was. He was like, throw it, throw it, throw it. But you have to make that throw. Yeah, those are three. The intentional grounding, the Theo Johnson miss, and the first down end zone interception. Those are three really critical errors. It's a good point, Jim.
Well, thank you. Every once in a while I come up with that, Ross. You alluded to the offensive line a bit. What did you see from them? It was realigned, new people. You mentioned Olu and Tangwall. What did you see from the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting that they had Scruggs at center and Miranda at guard. I think that tells you what they want to do next year, right? I think they think Scruggs is a really good player, and they want Scruggs to be the center. And then they'll have other guys, the Tangwalls, the Efners. I don't know. I guess Wigan could have another year if he wants. Miranda could maybe have another year if he wants. But I think that they think they're better with Scruggs at center, and they want him to be the center next year. And I thought, you know, Scruggs is probably their best offensive lineman this year. And it's interesting. I thought Ola was very comparable to Rashid Walker. You know, Rashid Walker leaves school early to go to the NFL. I mean, I suppose you'd rather have Rashid Walker back, but he didn't really get much better from his redshirt freshman year. And that's not a feather. It's not a positive for him, not a positive for Troutwine. I got to call it the way I see it. Did not see a ton of improvement from Walker from 2019 to 2021. Kind of always felt like he was the same kind of player. And so next year, they've got, I think they'll have a better offensive line next year. I really do. With Scruggs at center, with Ola and Wallace at the tackles, and then the guards, your worst case scenario is Efner and Tangwall, but they'll have other guys battling for those spots. I thought overall the line did okay. I mean, they didn't do great, but I thought Clifford had time, a decent amount of the time, and I thought they actually ran the ball a little bit better than they had been.
You mentioned a little bit about the running game. My question, did they give up on it too soon? For change, it seemed like Kevon Lee, Noah Kane, at least their numbers were pretty good, but with limited carries.
I thought they both looked a little bit better. I thought they both looked like they had a little bit more juice. Maybe they were fresher. I don't know. But it just seemed like each of those guys had a burst. You know, you saw a little bit of burst from Noah Kane. You saw a little burst from Kevon Lee. I still don't think that they're special players. I still think that Penn State's getting a running back or two that might be more explosive than them as true freshmen. But I feel better about those two going into next year than I did going into the bowl game. So I think that's fair, is to say Kevon Lee and Kane both look better. And maybe they were beat up this year. Maybe they'll be healthier next year. But I thought those guys looked better.
The one guy that was missing on offense was a very good player, Jahan Dotson. So the question was, could everybody move up a notch? Number two guy become number one and so on down the line. And you begin that talk with Parker Washington. As you know from doing this show with me all year, I'm a huge Parker Washington fan. I think he passed the test and could be the number one guy.
Yeah, well, I even tweeted during the game at Ross Tucker NFL, it's scary how much he reminds me of Jahan Dotson. I said Parker Washington's the new Jahan Dotson. You know, number three, number five, smaller dudes, but unbelievable ball skills. And, I mean, the one-handed catch was so Dotson-esque. I mean, it was really – he's an impressive player. He will be a star player next year. And I do think he and Keandre Lambert-Smith kind of complement each other pretty well. You know, with Lambert-Smith being more of a bigger guy and a speed guy, and then Washington being more the Dotson type. I'm excited about those two guys next year. I really am. And maybe even – Caden Saunders, the true freshman, gets in the mix, and he becomes sort of the next in the line of Dotson Washington types, similar body.
And don't forget Mitchell Tinsley, the guy from the transfer from Western Kentucky coming in. Also, on that one-handed catch, when the ball was released, I was already cursing Sean Clifford because it was such a bad pass. Did you not have, like, deja vu to Chris Fowler saying, oh, they overthrow Dotson? No, they didn't. He went and got it. Remember that game and that call?
Yes.
It seemed like the same play, didn't it?
Very, very similar. I agree.
All right, Ross, the other thing, the tight ends. I mentioned the play with Theo Johnson open behind the defense, and Sean Clifford missed him. How much I felt like the tight ends were underused this year. I expected more from them. Is that on Mike Yurcich, Sean Clifford, the tight ends themselves? And it was kind of the case again this game.
Well, one thing I think is interesting, and maybe you have more information than I do, Jim, I don't know what happened to Brenton Strange. He didn't play very much. It was mainly Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren. I don't know if Strange was injured or they feel like he's gotten beat out. But I would agree. I thought Strange, Johnson, and Warren all could have been weapons this year that could have been much better utilized. Those guys have some unique ability that Penn State didn't tap into nearly enough.
And I would have thought even more with some struggles on the offensive line, that tight end would be the safety valve for a quarterback.
Correct. Yeah, and it didn't really happen for whatever reason.
No, it didn't happen at all. We'll see if that changes at all come next season. All right, Ross, that is it for quarter number two. We'll put the Outback Bowl to rest until we hit our questions here with our Ask Ross segment. Stay tuned for that.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.